This meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is the Implementation Oversight Task Force call number 8 on the 10th of May, 2016. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. Apologies. I know that we did a last-minute cancellation for the meetings last week, and our apologies for doing that. There were some last-minute scheduling conflicts that came up. We are going to be doing a doodle poll about 2 weeks out. Is that right, Hugo? 1 week out for future IOTF meetings with the hope that by doing so we could identify the best time for the majority of folks for these meetings moving forward on a week-to-week basis, as opposed to having it at a standard time like we have been doing. So Hugo has been sending out those doodle polls, and thank you for working with us on that. On today's call, we have the same agenda that we have prepared for you for the call last week, and we're going to be using sort of the same, working from the same agenda this week. Can we move to the agenda slide, please, and take a look at it? So for today's call, we like to close out, if we can, any discussions as it relates to the IANA escalation mechanisms. We have been working with Donna very closely on the CSC and have made significant progress that we'd like to update you on today. And then the last item on the list is the document review process and timeline. We had made some changes to that slide based on feedback that we received from the last call, and we'd like to take another look at that with you. So those are the main items that we have for the agenda. And then maybe under other business, we can also touch on the request to have a implementation update session at ICANN 56 and any additional items that anyone would like to bring up. Jonathan, did you want to add anything before we get started?
Thanks, Trang. I'll pick it up later. I just want to talk about scheduling, but I'll pick that up under item 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. And Paul, you have your hand up?
So, thank you, Trang. A very brief question. Can we be assured that the statistics gathering for the SLEs is working correctly, and all data that's required is being captured appropriately?
Thank you, Paul. Yes, I'll bring that up under any other business. Okay. All right, so with that, maybe we can go ahead and move on to the next item, the IANA escalation mechanism. As a reminder, on the last call, we shared this slide with you, which captured the clarification that Chuck and the design team that work on this provided to us. There was a request on the last call that additional time be given to more carefully review this clarification, and I think the request was for a week to review that, and I think it's been more than a week now since we canceled last Wednesday's meeting. So I just wanted to circle back on this and see if there's any additional comments or discussions that anyone would like to raise on this particular topic, or if we can consider this closed. Paul, you were the one that had requested, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, additional time to review this. You know, do you have any additional concerns or comments that you'd like to raise? Or are you okay with this?
Just a quick thank you all for allowing additional time on this issue. I just wanted to have a chance to go back to the CC community to find out if members of the CC community had any issues. I haven't had any substantial issues from the CCs being raised. The only thing that has been brought to my attention, which is I'm not sure if it's covered, and I'll be guided by you, Trang, is to make sure that the CCNSO members and the non-CCNSO members have equal access to the escalation mechanism and fundamentally are not discriminated against, irrespective of which camp they're in, albeit the ICANN policies apply more to the CCNSO members who obviously agreed to follow them. But the escalation mechanism as such, provided it's non-discriminatory, the comments I received were of no real substance. But I'm grateful to everyone for allowing a little more time for us to consult with our respective communities. So thank you, Trang.
Thank you, Paul, for that. And yes, these customer service escalation mechanisms are open to all of IANA naming functions customers. So, it doesn't discriminate between, CCs or Gs or, people that may be on the CC or that may participate or not participate within the CCNSO. It's open to all IANA naming services customers. All right, so with that, Chuck, you have your hand up, please go ahead.
Thanks, Trang, and thanks, Paul. I just wanted to add, too, that it's my understanding, too, that individual registry operators, whether they be C or G, or members of the GNSO or registry stakeholder group or the CCNSO, have the right also to file IRPs. And so I don't think there's any discrimination there in terms of IANA customers from doing that and raising an issue. So thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. All right, so with that, I think we can consider this this item closed, and then we'll update our decision log to reflect that. All right, so next item on the agenda is the CSC update. Donna, let's load the slides up, and then Donna, would you be willing to give the group an update on the work that we have been doing on the CSC?
Yes, Trang, I will. It's Donna Austin.
Thank you, Donna.
So thanks to Trang and Yuko for the work that they've done in making some progress here. So one of the initial things that we had to do was just calibrate the CSC charter in terms of questions that we'd responded to as a result of, Sidley drafting the charter, and just making sure that we were consistent in any responses that we'd provided, the clarification questions related to the charter that was taking place for the bylaws, but also there were a few occasions, I think, when Sidley had asked questions about what we meant by XYZ. So we just went through and, or Trang and Yuko actually went through and pulled out all those different pieces of information to make sure that the responses we had were consistent and that we were interpreting the charter in its most up-to-date form as we understood it. So that's essentially what this slide here is speaking to. Next slide, please, Yuko, I guess. So in terms of the formation process, so one of the things that became obvious along the way is that there's different little components of responsibility within the charter itself. So we basically, took all the different requirements out and then tried to map what it was we actually needed to do to try to get the first CSC established. So we drafted the skill set and geodiversity requirements. Now, I'll add that for the registry stakeholder group, we've been through a process of identifying what our process will look like in terms of selection for the the two GTLD registry operators. And within that, we have been a little bit more specific about the skill requirements. And the CCNSO has actually been going through a similar process. So that kind of ticks a box on the skill set and geodiversity requirements. And we've defined the formation process and timeline. The timeline is still a little bit fluid because we're still trying to get, the different groups. We're trying to understand the how long it's going to take each group to do their separate parts and then put the timeline together. But to some extent, we're working between doing an expression of interest or an announcement. ICANN will do an announcement around the 16th of May with the expectation that we will have the CSC selections made by mid-August. Next slide, please, Yuko. So this speaks to the work that we've been doing with the CCNSO, the Registry Stakeholder Group, and also I've really only just started the conversation with the GNSO this week. So it's on the agenda for the council meeting on Thursday, so I'll have a little bit of a preliminary discussion about what the requirements are for the GNSO in terms of setting up the CSC. And then we'll get into some more conversations after that about specifics for how the GNSO will do the selection of the liaison and also the full slate at the end of the day in conjunction with a CCNSO. So the membership process is, if you'll recall, we have two GTLD registry operators and two CCTLD registry operators, which we consider to be members of the CSC, and there's also a provision for another TLD registry operator that isn't considered a C or a G, so somebody like .ARPA could also put in an expression of interest to be considered for the membership slate. And then with the liaisons, essentially one liaison from each supporting an advisory committee other than a registry, and that's the second. And the final slide. So this is the timeline that we're working to at the moment, trying to take into consideration all the moving parts. As I said, there's a little bit of a gap in the middle there as we try to work out how the, at the moment I think the Registry Stakeholder Group is looking to make selections by the 17th of June, so our expression of interest window is really only open for about a month. I think the CCNSO is looking to have a longer window, and then we have to bring those two groups back together to do the discussion around the membership selection and then further consideration for the CCNSO and GNSO to consider the final slate, and also for the GNSO to select the liaison that will come out of the GNSO. So this is loosely what the formation timeline is going to look like. So that's all I have in terms of an update. Alan, I see your hand up.
That's not intentional.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't your hand up. Something moved on your, and I thought the hand was going up, sorry. So does anybody have any questions that you'd like me to answer? All righty then, I think we can move on, Trang. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Donna. All right, so document review process and timeline. Next slide, please. So this is the timeline that we had circulated previously, and I think this is the timeline that had also been shared with Sidley. This is the high-level timeline that basically shows the various activities as well as the time frame for the formation of PTI, essentially. So I know it looks a bit small on the screen. Hopefully you have the ability to zoom in on this a little bit. So I'll just kind of walk through what's on this slide, and then we'll share with you some of the things that may be shifting a little bit. So what you see down here is the first line at the very bottom talks about selection of a name for PTI, because as we go to incorporate, PTI is a new legal entity. We need to give it a name. We essentially would have, according to this timeline, all the way through sort of the end of June to go through that process and select a name. The next line above that you see relates to all of the PTI formation documents, and that is specifically the PTI bylaws, the PTI articles of incorporation, and the PTI conflict of interest policy. Those three are what we're calling the PTI formation documents. And as per this timeline, as you can see, we show here that ICANN would be drafting those documents, and that would take through the end of April. The month of May would be used for community review of the documents, and then there would be a 30-day public comment period that would take place in June, and then the ICANN board would then consider comments received and then approve the PTI formation documents. Once the PTI board approves those formation documents, then we can move ahead with incorporation of PTI. And that's the small orange box or bar that you see there about three lines up. After PTI is incorporated, then the ICANN board can then appoint and seat the PTI board of directors for PTI. And then after the PTI board is constituted, they can then, of course, appoint PTI officers. So that's sort of the order of events that you see there. Also, you can see above that is a 501c3 filing bar. That can occur after PTI is incorporated. So once there is a legal entity, then we can go ahead and that legal entity can then go ahead and file for 501c3 tax exempt status. The green line that you see at the top represents the activities relating to the ICANN PTI contracts. So according to this timeline, what we have previously projected is that ICANN would be drafting those documents towards the end of May, and then the community would have a little bit over a month to review those documents, and then those documents would go out for public comment during the month of July. After the public comment period closes, we would then insert the actual performance targets into the contract, the naming function contract. And the reason that that's going to be done after the public comment period is because, as previously discussed with the SLE design team in Marrakesh, the data collection period will end approximately early to mid-July, at which time ICANN would then present to the SLE design team our suggestions for performance targets. And so because of that timing, which would occur sort of middle of July, we won't have the actual performance target available for insertion into the contract until after the public comment period closes. But the contract itself will have sort of a template schedule, if you would, for the performance targets. It's just the actual values will be filled out once we have it. And then after that, the ICANN and PTI board would approve the contracts, and then contract execution would take place. So that's sort of the order of events that would take place. We obviously is now a little bit of into May already, and we have not yet shared with you the PTI formation documents. We do have those documents ready. We wanted to talk to you about sort of the process and agree on process in terms of who reviews it at what who reviews it first and second, and how do we work together with this group, with Sidley, et cetera, before it is released. The other consideration that we have is that since there is a board workshop later this week, we'd like the opportunity to also brief the board before we release those documents. But they are ready and they are written. So we are in the process of working on updating this timeline to reflect the release or the drafting process being completed in the middle of May and shifting everything towards the right a little bit. So we're working on that, and we'll share those documents with you shortly after this call. The other thing that we also are working on is the more detailed timeline for the community review period. As you can see on this slide, we are just representing that as a big block of time. And what we've been working on is breaking out that block of time into more concrete steps. And I'm looking at Yuko to see where we are in terms of that process, if it's ready to be shared yet. Okay. So Yuko, sorry, we were just having an offline chat. So the detailed timeline is also ready to be shared as well. And I don't know if it's, you know, if that's something that we can load up and share with the group right now. Okay. So we do have a draft of it. I guess it just needs my review before we share it with the.
There's a little bit of a variation, so we need to internally agree on the specific. But we're almost there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess the discussion that we want to have today with this group is in terms of next steps and review. We want to share with you first, of course, the sort of the timing that we're looking at, and then discuss with you, you know, once we are ready to share the documents, what is the, you know, how do we go about working with this team, working with the CWG, working with Sidley to move forward with this. So, Jonathan, I see you have your hand up, so I will shut up for now and let you please jump in.
Frank, I think I was somewhat anticipating that last question you made. I mean, I was actually initially coming into the point thinking about the client committee meeting that had taken place last week, but you also raised a good point about how these groups interact. And we've got quite a delicate situation to manage here because technically the CWG is supposed to be providing the sort of appropriate level of oversight for the implementation to ensure its consistency with the letter and spirit of the proposal, as you know. We've got this group, which is intended to facilitate that really and provide a form of more rapid response. But we've got to be careful we don't get out of step with the CWG. So we've got a challenge there, and we've also now had the conversation via the client committee, which itself has got a responsibility to the CWG, not to get out of sync with the CWG. And we had that conversation with Sidley last week, and it became clear, talking with Sidley, that that this timescale is ambitious and stretching, and we've left Sidley behind a little. Now, you will know, I think, that Sidley released to us their comments on the heads of terms or the high-level points with respect to the PTI formation documents. And the challenge there is that you were almost ready to produce a first draft when you hadn't yet seen the comments on at the sort of heads of terms level. So I guess what I'm doing is there's no sense of accusation there, but collectively we've got slightly out of sync, and we really do need to bring that back into line. Now, I know you should have received those comments by now, and I'm just wondering when we get to see your first draft, and indeed, I guess the board later this week gets to see your first draft of the documents, what level of, to what extent will they reflect Sidley's comments at the heads of terms level, or are we still going to be out of sync with that first draft? That's really the question with a lot of preamble to it. Maybe you could speak to that and see if it takes us further into a dialogue. Or others want to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Jonathan. And the first draft, once we get to a point, and first of all, we won't be sharing with the board the actual draft. I don't believe what we'll be sharing with the board is exactly what was shared with Sidley, just ahead of terms. And So Sidley's comments back as it relates to the heads of terms are being reviewed and will be incorporated into if necessary. You know, if it's all consistent, then obviously there won't be any update necessary. But if to the extent that updates need to be made, they will be made and reflected in the first step draft that will be shared. You know, with either this group, Sidley, or the CWG.
That's very encouraging, and that's positive to hear. It's Jonathan speaking again. That's positive to hear. I guess one of the things we might want to do then, and I don't know how practical this is, whether this is creating unnecessary work or not, but it does strike me that we've got the table for Sidley, which includes their comments. Seems to have an open mic somewhere. We've got the table from Sidley with the comments. And if you are indeed reviewing those comments and either incorporating them or in some way reject or not bring them, it might be good to have an ICANN response next to that or an implementation team response. So it's clear for both Sidley and the CWG how comments have been dealt with. I don't know how practical that is. So that's the thought there.
That sounds reasonable from a process perspective. I can check and see if there's any issues or concerns with that internally. But from a process perspective, that sounds reasonable to me. So certainly let me kick that back internally and confirm that that's something that we'll be able to provide.
Thank you. Just as I said, it looks like Yuko's mic might be open by the icon I can see on the screen. I'm not sure if it is.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think that's my microphone. We're all in the same office, Yuko and Natalie and I. So I'll go on mute when I'm not speaking. Paul, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
So thank you, Trang. Following on from Jonathan's point, we have raised this at previous calls, specifically Annex C, Section 7 and 8 of the CWG report. You very kindly said on an earlier call that it would be addressed within the Sidley outline. It does not seem to have been addressed. Can we be assured that in your draft, bylaws, it will be addressed, please. That's Annex C, Sections 7 and 8.
Thank you, Paul. With regards to Annex C, our recommendation is that specific Section 7 and 8 be addressed within the naming function contract between ICANN and PTI and not within the bylaws. That's our recommendation. And the document that Sidley circulated is actually the head of terms for the bylaws, and that's why you don't see it reflected there, because it's our recommendation that be reflected within the naming function contract. And just to add to that a little bit more, the other document that we also have ready to be shared is sort of the section headers of that naming function contract. I know that there was a request to have something similar to that be shared with this group sooner rather than later so that you can have a sense of how the document would be structured. So we went back and then we think that we are going to be able to share that with you fairly soon as well. And not just the headers of the various sections, but also the mapping of those headers to either sections within the CWG proposal or sections within the current IANA contract that's relevant to that section. So that is something that we can share with you, and I believe that that's what was requested previously. So, Jonathan, is that a new hand?
Thanks, Trang. So just to perhaps help with responding to Paul's comments and perhaps preempting his comeback on this one, Paul, we tackled this issue specifically with Sidley last Thursday, the inclusion of your concerns in either the P PTI bylaws or the contract between ICANN and PTI. And Sidley were very firm in their view that the protections would be equivalent in either case. And so, you know, to give you comfort on that, I encourage you to listen to the recording of that client committee meeting, because we did specifically pick this up, mindful of your concerns. So just to let you know that I don't right now remember the full rationale for it, which is why I encourage you to listen. But I just thought I'd come in and let you know that, and others, that we dealt with the annex, the issue of whether or not these should be included in bylaws or IANA PTI contract. And essentially, Sidley said that they are equally difficult to modify and your protections were equivalent. And it was, in fact, their recommendation, therefore, for other reasons, that they were put into the contract rather than the bylaws. So I just thought I'd come in with that, and it may or may not answer what you think you're going to come back on.
So thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Trang. And I remember a conversation with other members of the group, which basically reaffirmed that view, that they were of equal importance. And I think the conversation of the group was there may be benefit in protections being in both. Again, I come back to the fact of, unfortunately, the CC community is very diverse, and the CC community does really need to have assurances that the diversity will be respected. I remember there are those that are obligated to follow, or not obligated, indicate their willingness to follow ICANN developed policy. There are those that explicitly are outside of it, and in fact ICANN has referred to that in court cases that it's had in recent past. So I think if you wouldn't mind, I will listen to the tape, I'm very happy to, but if you wouldn't mind, if we could have something in writing from Sidley as to why they specifically advise not having something in the bylaws. I understand the contract is strong, and I think it was Alan that raised it, and Alan raised some very good points. I have read the language that actually does enforce that the contract is an appropriate vehicle. But I do think for those parties that are concerned, having something in the bylaws would reassure them significantly. So if we could get something from Sidley in writing, that would be great to address this specific point. Really having something in the bylaws gives that level of support to those jurisdictions that potentially are hostile. And we are all aware of litigation ongoing at the moment. And if it's in the bylaws, that's a founding document of the organization. If it's a contract between two entities, be they related entities, I fear that some of the parties that are not in favor of the ICANN model, and we know the ongoing CC court cases with somewhat authoritarian countries, I just think it's a prudent, forward-looking rationale rather than our Western way of looking at things. But I'm guided by you, and I will listen to the recording. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'll just come back to it. Yeah, I think listen to it. We certainly specifically sought Sidley's advice and input based on the knowledge of your concerns. I can't offer a whole lot more than that, and it may well be that we need to pick this up further. But like I say, have a listen, see if you are you and those that are driving this point are more satisfied by that, and if not, we need to then look. But you know, as far as our responsibility as CWG chairs and, if you like, client committee representatives, we dealt with various things on that call, but I do recall that we specifically went into that. And so let's have a look at it and see whether it's satisfactory reassurance or remains an issue. Thanks.
Jonathan and Paul, sorry to just jump in and not raising my hand, but I keep getting kicked off of the
there'll be room, but I will support Jonathan in his, well, trying to reassure you that we actually got a very good explanation why it didn't need to be in the PTI bylaws. So this was more like an overall checklist, the Annex C, where if 7 and 8 is important principles that needs to be incorporated in all the documents. And I, well, but listen to the recordings, and I can see I just interrupted Greg, whose hand is up. Sorry. I'll shut up. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. Lisa, you didn't interrupt me. It was actually a very good thing to have said and as part of this conversation. This may fall under the category of fools rush in where angels fear to tread, but I'll speak anyway, if anybody had any doubt about my status. So I understand, you know, having listened to the lawyers and being a lawyer myself, that, you know, everything that was said about putting things in contracts versus bylaws and the strength of the contract and the difficulty of changing it. But I think that where Paul is kind of looking at this in a from a different angle, and it almost doesn't matter that housing this in the contract accomplishes the internal objectives just as well, if not better, than the bylaws, and that the particular aspects we're talking about might more naturally be the type of things that one sees in a contract versus what one sees in a bylaw. But again, I don't think that matters. We're talking about something that's optics and relationships and mollification, if you will, of parties who may be inclined or disinclined to be completely at ease with all of the current situation and movements that are taking place. And that given that there aren't terribly negative issues with putting such things in bylaws, and given that, you know, ICANN bylaws tend to be a rather unique document compared to any other bylaw I've ever seen, anyway, and so does and PTI as well. They won't be quite as unique. If there are levels of uniqueness, I'm sure will also be hardly cookie cutter. So I think we need to look at this more as a cultural, political, dynamic issue for relationship building and socialization of our project, as opposed to a legal which blocks go in which holes and accomplish which objectives kind of exercise. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, if I can, at this point, if I can sort of bring us back to the question that we had initially when we talked about this topic of the agenda, which is next steps in terms of how do we now, moving forward, work with this group, with CIDLI, with the CWG, et cetera, you know, for reviews of these documents. And Jonathan and Lisa, I'm not certain at this point, you know, how to carry this conversation or what the next steps there would be. You know, I think we need some direction from this group or from you as to how do we want to, you know, move forward, work with you in the review and finalizations of these various documents. Jonathan, please go ahead.
Maybe I misunderstood. Were you asking about this specific issue we've just been on, or at a sort of higher level, how we move forward with all of this?
At a higher level, how we move forward, Jonathan. The issue that Paul and just raised around Annex C, I think that's certainly a topic that will come up in the course of discussions of the PTI formation documents, the bylaws, as well as the contract. So that's, you know, I'm sure that topic will come up within those discussions moving forward. I was more thinking about at a high level the next step in terms of, you know, working either with the IOTF or CIDLI or CWG you know, across all of these documents, the bylaws, the articles of incorporation, the contract, et cetera, and the review process.
I think we certainly have an obligation, and Lisa's ready to come in on this as well, I suspect. We one of the things I'm conscious of is that, and fortunately we have a meeting on Thursday this week at the CWG, it's critical that we bring the CWG fully into the loop. Sibley certainly were keen to be better plugged in, and so I think we've got to, and where they are most out of sync with us was in this work where they had prepared their initial response to the heads of terms on the formation documents, and yet ICANN implementation team were already drafting the documents. So we were most out of sync there. I think with respect to the contract, we'll do better there because you're going to give us heads of terms there rather than the contract per se with all of the different sections, and so we'll be able to get that to Sidley. So I think providing we can get back in sync on the formation documents, we'll be better off with the contract. I do think it's going to be a challenge because of the way we're set up, where in principle at least, the client committee should be being instructed by the CWG, and the IOTF is here to assist CWG. So I think I'm probably going to have to talk it through with Lisa a little more tomorrow, take it, the CWG with through where we are, and talk with them about, you know, working expeditiously yet not flying solo. So that's just we're going to have to do a little bit of work on this, given the pressures of the timetable. But I think that's enough said for the moment. But it, suffice it to say, probably that we're going to have to work closely together, and Sidley's going to have to be copied into the communications as early as possible. And so it's really a matter of joining up client committees, Sidley, IOTF, and CWG, and making sure these aren't operating sort of independently of one another when really we're meant to be sort of assisting that things work smoothly, not working independently of one another. And I don't, there's not a crisis at this point, but we're slightly out of sync. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Lisa?
Yeah, not to echo what Jonathan is saying, but I'm actually agreeing totally with what he said. I just want to underline that we have been very specific with the CWG on that every decision that was taken within this group would go to the CWG for consultation afterwards and actually being decided finally within the CWG. So this is actually the group that is signing off on any of the implementation work. And that said, some can, of course, be done online, but I think when you look at the contract, when you look at the PTI bylaws and stuff like that, that needs to be treated within the group. So we need to take care or make sure that we have the time to actually deal with this with Sidley and with the CWG as such. And here it's these documents are really essential for part of our project and the proposal. So I actually find that we need to take the time to go through those documents in order to have the community feel safe and feel that it's been done in the way it's been forecasted in the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, so what I got from that is we'll continue to have conversations on this particular topic and kind of figure out a coordination point and how to stay coordinated and in sync moving forward. So we'll pick up this conversation again and get some finalization with regards to sort of process and move forward approach. I'm looking at the clock and I'm conscious of the time because we do have several items now under any other business. So with that, maybe we can hold or we can stop the conversation at this point around document review and process and perhaps move on to any other business. Uh, Chuck, did you have anything to add before we move on to any other business? Your hand went up there for just a second.
Yeah, I took it down because you wanted to go on, but I'll be real brief. I think we talked about this in our last call a couple weeks ago, but the only way that the different groups are going to be able to review this and still meet the timelines is if we do it concurrently. So I just want to make that point. If we do it, try and do the review serially by the different groups, including this one, that need to review the documents, we'll never make the timeline, I don't believe. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. All right, let's move on to Jonathan. Please go ahead.
That's what I was expecting, that we could move on, but I think I agree with Chuck, and it's really just a matter of making sure that the groups are comfortable. And my biggest concern is that we have another CWG meeting for a while, just making sure that the entire group is, from a CWG group point of view, is properly up to speed with our. But in principle, I agree with Chuck. I could move on to cover my AOB item, and then I can leave the road clear for others. Trang, that's probably the most efficient. So just on scheduling briefly, we were, of course, running these on a regular set of schedules twice per week with the option to cancel. The problem we ran into, in particular from a European perspective, is these are always happening late at night. And so if you've got any social or other work issues going on in the week, it makes it quite difficult to accommodate these, in addition to a full working day. And it happened that Lisa and I are trying to ensure that one of us is on each call, if not both of us. And so we ran into that problem last week, which is why we went into this, the prospect of just looking at the calendar a week ahead and scheduling it. And I know that there's a tension between booking things up for many, many weeks ahead. I'm open to any suggestions if there's a better way. For example, we could doodle them 2 weeks ahead and make sure that there is, and so that's really what we were trying to respond to. And if anyone's got a sort of better way or an alternative to deal with this, certainly be receptive. I see James in the chat recognizes that 2 weeks might be an improvement. So from my point of view, and I'd be perfectly happy to work looking 2 weeks ahead. It's just booking that many weeks ahead when you don't know what all of your evenings in a week are going to look like. And things change at sort of shorter notice. So I'd be happy with 2 weeks ahead if that makes things easier for people.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Jonathan. And it sounds like, maybe we can move forward with scheduling it 2 weeks ahead. That seems to work for folks. I see Cheryl agreeing with James as well. All right. Very good. Thank you, Jonathan. Moving on to the next topic under AOB, there was a request, I believe it was started by Lisa Cooper, with regards to having an implementation update session at ICANN 56. As I said in the email that I circulated to the IOTF mail list, there's no issues with doing that, but because of the new meeting B format, staff is not able to actually schedule sessions. If the group would like to have such a session be held, they would need to be scheduled through an SO or AC. I know that the calendar is getting the session calendar is getting finalized. It looks to me like there were still potentially some slots that could be used for a 60-minute session. But again, we'll need sort of your help, to get that meeting scheduled if that is something that this group wants to do. So I just wanted to reiterate that, the content of that email that I send. And James, in the chat room, you've mentioned that maybe we could schedule it over lunch if necessary. Certainly that, I think Chuck also raised the same point, that is certainly an option. Um, Just reading in the chat room, James does not have audio. Okay, so let me read what James typed. Could we meet over lunch if necessary? Donna, can you help us with this from a GNSO perspective? And Avery is typing. Donna, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Trang. James, the answer is tentatively, well, certainly I can help by, you know, seeing if we can find some time on the schedule, but things are starting to clam up. So, you know, so long as people understand that potentially the time that we could come up with to have the meeting is going to conflict with something. So it may not be possible to get everybody in the same room at the same time. But we can certainly make the request. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. All right, let's move on to the next item. Alan, do you wanted to bring up RZERC?
Yes, thank you. As any of you who have been watching the CWG list, there's been effectively a food fight between Milton and me and one or two other people on what the RZERC should be doing and what the board has approval over. And the issue is really whether it is solely names or whether from the point of view of architecture, that really only applies to names. Operationally, there certainly had been an NTIA authorization process before with regard to operational issues for the other registries. And my presumption was we were talking about continuing that process with what is now called the RZERC and the board approval. Milton, of course, claims that there must be nothing to do with any other groups. That implies that either there is no longer any authorization function and IANA can do what they want with regard to significant operational changes in the other registries, or the other groups have to set up presumably a similar multi-expert body and an authorization process. It's not within my mandate to determine that, but if Milton is on the meeting on Thursday, I think it's Thursday, or tomorrow, whenever it is, then clearly there's going to be some dispute. David Conrad will be at the meeting, and I think he, to the extent he can give personal opinions and not those of the ICANN CTO, will try to lend some level of sanity to this. But I'm just giving a heads up that it might get ugly or it might not. And all I can do is present what I believe was the DTF view at the time. Clearly, I can't speak on behalf of anyone else, although my understanding was the mandate of DTF was to make sure that when the NTIA authorization function goes away, that someone else is doing it. At that point in the life of the CWG, we were not particularly focused on the extreme separation of names from the other communities in terms of those functions. So I'm not quite sure how to proceed other than cautiously and hope it doesn't blow up, but I wanted to give everyone a heads up. Is anyone still there?
Yes, thank you, Alan.
I love stunning people so they all disappear.
So did anyone have anything else for Alan on the RZERC?
I will point out that the name RZERC probably was not appropriate if indeed it is supposed to be making operational changes on things other recommendations on operational changes on things other than the root zone. So we may want to change the name if indeed the function stays the same.
Right. Paul, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
So I'll be very brief. I think, Alan, you're doing a great list, and I'm not participating, to be candid, because I'm not up to speed sufficiently to be able to add historical or learned content. the question would be, why not just ask the other two groups if they wish to, which they intend to, participate in the RZOC, and then it sort of it kills the argument. I know Milton's view, but I share your view that we believe that there is one group. It is only an occasional advisory body, just for upgrades, as it were. But I would reach out to the other group. I think Alan, the IETF Alan, I think he raised some comments, but it's very difficult, unless you're following it as you are, for us to comment, but I'm very grateful to you on list for following it.
Thank you. I'll point out that there's no question the other groups are going to participate as advisors into whatever this group does. There's certainly no question about that. The question is, the day IANA decides to do a major software upgrade that affects all three registries, who is it that's going to approve on behalf of the other of the other groups? This may never happen in my lifetime. It has happened before, and the real question is, who is going to play that role that NTIA used to play? So I'll phrase it like that, and certainly there's been a lot of confusion, because Andrew at one point, you know, said, well, what if the IETF recommends a new registry? Well, if they recommend a new registry, that's a new registry, period. The only question is, how does IANA support it? And that's the question that this group was there for. So I'll raise the issues and leave it up to the co-chairs to manage the dispute. If there is a dispute, if there isn't, fine, so be it. I'm done.
Thanks, Alan. All right, we have a couple of minutes left, and the last item under any other business was a request for an update with regards to the named SLEs. Paul, I may have a more substantive update that I can provide this Thursday, but as of right now, what I can share is that we have been collecting data. There have not been any substantive code changes that needs to be made in order to be able to capture the SLEs that have been defined. So that work is ongoing. We are also working on building a dashboard for reporting of these performance metrics. So work is ongoing. We feel pretty good at this point that we are able to collect the data that we're supposed to be collecting. As I said, I may be able to give a more substantive update on Thursday. We do have a touch base that we're supposed to have with our internal folks that's working on this tomorrow. So hopefully by Thursday on the CWG call, we'll be able to provide a little bit more more detail. Okay. All right, so I think that is it in terms of things that we had for the agenda today. Is there any last comments from anyone before we close the call? All right. Well, in that case, we'll go ahead and close today's call. Thank you again. We'll talk next week or Thursday on the CWG call.
It's Alan. Before you hang up, I'm having trouble with Adobe Connect. I'm trying to get in again. If someone can let me in, I was just declined. I'm trying to test to make sure it will work for next time.
Okay, Alan. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.